morning, Louise. How are you?
I'm very well, Allison.
Excellent.
How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the show. After the silence, I love it. I really, really love it. It is, I said it yesterday on the show, it's one of those, when you read a book that becomes so, you become so engrossed in it, you feel like you're in it all the time, even when you're not reading the book. And that's the sensation I have from this.
Oh, that, I mean, that's exactly what every writer wants to hear. So I'm delighted. Thank you, Alison.
It's absolutely brilliant. But Louise, it is like, it's quite different in style to your previous works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a psychological thriller. And, you know, I've obviously never written in that genre before. You know, I've written dystopian, I've written contemporary novels, I've written a fantasy retelling of The Little Mermaid, but this is definitely, you know, very new to me. And I suppose as a writer, like, I am someone who I get bored quite easily, and I'm always really eager for a new challenge. And there's been just such incredible female authors, I think, using psychological thrillers as a way of, I think, interrogating like female fear and violence that is inflicted upon the female body. Like, you know, I'm thinking of Leanne Moriarty with Big Little Lies, or, you know, Tana French, Megan Abbott, Erin Kelly, Liz Nugent. Like, there's some really incredible women writing in this genre. And I think when I had the idea for After the Silence, which, oh, you know, we'll get to in a second, but I think it became very clear, like, this is a book about secrets and, you know, an unsolved murder and a true crime documentary. Like, I think it became clear very early on, oh, the way that I'm going to have to tell this story is going to be through a psychological thriller.
Absolutely. And I mean, you've spoken very openly about the fact that the story was, you know, inspired by the fact that, you know, the West Cork, the podcast, everything that happened in the area has cast a shadow since Sophie, you know, passed away, that was very much kind of an inspiration for you for the story.
I mean, obviously the case at the heart of my story is very different to that case. But, you know, honestly, I think if you talk to anyone who is from West Cork, who was living in the area at the time, like, it really shook us to our very core. I think there was a sense of things like this don't happen here, you know, not to people like us. And I was a child when it happened. And I think not to sound too dramatic, but it was almost like, I suppose, a loss of innocence where you know that darkness exists in the world, but you think that it's very far away from you, you know, in London, in New York, you know, in cities halfway across the world. And I think to feel it like encroaching upon our sense of safety in that way was just transformative, really, I think, and not necessarily in a good way. I think it's cast a very long shadow for the people of West Cork. And so when I heard about the podcast in 2018, you know, true crime wasn't something I was necessarily that keen on. You know, I thought that there was certain issues around, I think, the glorification sometimes of the murderer or of the you know, the criminal, rather than, I suppose, and less emphasis maybe on the victim, who is often female. I could not listen to this podcast, I suppose, you know, because how often is, you know, this the podcast that everyone is talking about around the world
about your area,
exactly, like about your nearly,
but
like,
you know,
your
what
hometown.
Louise, it's funny, I think I'm one of the few people on the planet that hasn't heard it yet, but in many ways, because I'm reading After the Silence, and like, I know the connection is there, but I think I'm glad I'm doing After the Silence first and then I'll go to the podcast, if that makes sense.
You should listen to it. It's really, it's brilliant. And I think it was when I was listening to it, and I kept thinking about the idea of outsiders. And, you know, when you live in an area like this where tourism is so important and where there are so many what we would call blow-ins, like, you know, my mother has lived here for, I mean, almost 40 years, and, you know, she's still isn't really considered a native, you know, because my father's family has, you know, been here for like hundreds of years. So I think I just started to think about that, and I thought, God, the idea of these two documentary makers coming to a small, closely knit community, trying to, you know, asking questions and trying to uncover secrets that some people do not want to be uncovered. I thought, God, that is a really good premise for a book. And here we are.
Yeah.
Here I am talking to you.
But you know what, Louise, I think as well, and I think this is really important, and I kind of think about certain Canadian literature pieces that were based in and around where I grew up. I think it's so important that we have things that we can identify with as Irish people that are recognizable and represented in literature, which is why I think, you know, Normal People did so well, you know, why it was so liked. And I just think it's really important. And you're definitely, you've created that, like in this book in particular, you've created an Irish environment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting sometimes, I suppose that's what the success of Normal People and Sally Rooney, I think, has proved otherwise, because I think sometimes as a creator in Ireland, you think that maybe this is very niche in a way that I don't think British writers and I don't think American writers see their literature or their pop culture in that way. They kind of see it as universal. Whereas actually, I think, you know, the success of the Normal People or a Derry Girls or, you know, the Young Offenders,
yeah.
I think what actually it proves is that the more specific you are sometimes, actually the more universal it is.
Yeah.
And the more appealing it can be. So I think once people get over, you know, let's say the accents now sometimes in Derry Girls, or when people get over like a different language, you know, it's fine. And I think actually I find it quite frustrating sometimes, particularly when they've been, you know, when they're going to the States, and they will often say, oh, we have to change it. We can't say footpath, you know, they won't understand footpath. It has to. And I'm like, of course it's a real underestimation of like their intelligence. I'm like, they're like, oh, we can't say car park, we have to say parking lot. I'm like,
or
no,
like
again,
there's lots of times when things have been there's lots of times when things have been subtitled and I'm like, oh, come on, like seriously. You know, it's something you've talked about as well with this in relation to this is, and I suppose we'll be careful because we've lots of little ears around us as well on Weekend Breakfast, but about the fact that women are drawn to, like, it seemed to be fans of true crime. I'm like you, I was kind of late in life where I kind of got into things, but from a podcast point of view, there were two, and again, they're Canadian ones, that really grabbed my attention. Someone Knows Something and Missing and Murdered, which is really gripping, and Connie is an amazing, you know, deliverer of the podcast there. But what do you think it is that perhaps, like, women are drawn to these stories?
I mean, it's actually fascinating, because if you look at the statistics, like the majority of people who are consuming these podcasts, these true crime documentaries, you know, these novels, they are women. And so often within the stories, like the victim is female as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've read quite a lot of, you know, because I was so interested in this, and I've read actually quite a lot of studies, and like some psychologists posit that it's almost like why people enjoy horror movies, that I think there's some sort of like psychological release in it, but also maintaining a certain amount of distance between you and the horrors that you're like, that you're seeing or that you're listening to. And I think for women, you know, we have been conditioned, I think, since childhood to be very wary, you know, of violence, you know, whether that's abuse or murder or, you know, abduction, you know, any of these things. And I think there's almost something like that we want to listen to these podcasts almost to look for clues, you know, to say, okay, where did the victim go wrong? And if this happens to me, like, how can I learn from their mistakes, you know, quote unquote?
That's
like
fascinating.
Yes, I mean, again, you know, there's so many different theories, but I think that was the one that seemed to, for me, I felt like that resonated.
Yeah. Now, without giving away too much about the actual book, because we want people to go out and buy it and read it, just a little bit of a plot overview.
Sure. Okay, well, After the Silence is set on a small island called Inishroon, which is off the coast of West Cork. And this very glamorous, wealthy family, the Kinsellas, have set up what becomes like a world-renowned artist retreat centre on the island. And the youngest Kinsella son, Henry, marries a local woman called Keelan. And it's at Keelan's birthday party that this very wild birthday party, like lots of, you know, drink and drugs and just, you know, very bad behaviour.
Yes.
This violent storm engulfs the island, completely cutting it off from the mainland. And the next morning, the body of a young woman is found, and no one can get on the island, no one can get off the island, so it has to have been someone there. So it's 10 years later, you know, the murder of Nessa Crowley like still haunts the Irish people. So this team of documentary makers arrive from Australia determined to figure out exactly what happened that night.
It is absolutely stunning. And like all of your work, thank you so, so much for your time this morning. An absolute pleasure. After the Silence, amazing book. People should get their hands on it now. Louise O'Neill, thank you.
Thank you so much, Alison.